that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings. Then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
By request, Lauren Green doing "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Thank you for joining us for this half hour. Now, let's talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm Tracy Morgan. So nice to have you here. Happy holidays. Can we say that? I know we're in that mode. So I hope you've had a good few days. All right. So we're back to work here, at least. Lisa Gard. Do you ever take a day off, Lisa? I'm not quite sure, but Lisa Gard with Specialized Staffing. And she's here today to talk about an interesting topic about the office, the generational differences. Do I have your attention? Okay, so we're going to talk about what the generations are, where you may fall, and how do we all get along, and how do we make our employment places, places of employment, successful with the different generations. Now, keep in mind, you have a few ways to listen. If you're listening to us on the radio, fine. If you have your cell phone, great. You have the app. If you have us online, it's WISR680.com. Did you get an Alexa device? All right, so if you have an Alexa-powered device now, Echo Dot Tap, what you can do is just say, "Alexa, play WISR 680, and we'll pop up there for you. This is our podcast of the day. Back online you go. You'd look for the menu bar, pick Programs, Let's Talk, and then Specialized Staffing. Let's get it underway. All right, Lisa, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Tracy. How are you?
It is nice to see you today. Yeah. And so this is such an intriguing topic. I have a ton of questions for you because we all are in this position somewhere where we're working in a place. There are just different generations.
Yes.
Does it pose for a difficulty or is it a positive thing?
Well, both.
Okay.
Both. It's a positive thing. Each generation brings their set of values and, you know, assets to the table. But there are some real differences in values that can be misinterpreted and can cause disharmony.
And I want to ask you about the disharmony. I want to end on the positive note, so we'll do the disharmony first. And I know we both chuckle because we know it's out there.
Sure.
But, of course, you know, I will just not tell my age, but, you know, I've been in different generations
sure.
now, right? You know, so now I'm on the older crew, if you will, here at work. And so being younger, I always felt like, okay, I have to prove myself.
Sure.
Now as I'm getting older, I feel like I have to prove that I'm still relevant.
Okay.
Do you find that in the different generations or as people grow?
Good point. Well, yes, that and, you know, a lot of the older generations feel not only that, okay, they had to prove themselves when they were young and they're still proving their relevance, but they're also believing that younger generations need to kind of pay their dues and prove themselves before, you know, they can receive promotions and recognition and so forth. And I think it's important to first visit the four generations that are in the workplace right now are the traditionalists, which there aren't a whole lot of these people left in the workforce. A lot of them are in the workforce more advisory capacity and, you know, providing consulting services. But these are folks that were born between 1922 and 1945. They are called the traditionalists. And you know, some of these people had postponed their retirement due to the recession in 2008.
Okay.
Some of them were, you know, about to retire, but 2008 happened and, you know, they're still there. But, you know, everybody's an individual, and I think it's important to remember that and to keep that in mind. It's important not to stereotype everybody in a generation, but there are certain qualities based on how these folks grew up that a majority of them, you know, and characteristics that they bring to the table. So let's take a look at the traditionalists. They grew up during the Depression. They grew up during, World War II. And so these people, they won't quit. They've got a work ethic. They believe in nose to the grindstone. They've seen it all. They've seen hardship, and they truly believe in starting, for a company and retiring from that same company. They're very loyal. They believe in brick and mortar. One big difference between this generation and later generations is that there's a belief that you need to be at work. And they can look at the millennials and the Xers who believe that they can be as productive working from home and misinterpret that.
Okay.
That's one of the key differences. But these people are very loyal. A lot of them, like I said, they started and retired from the same company. They also think in more of a hierarchical management style. So they believe in top-down management, top-down leadership, whereas later generations are more, they look at more of a, horizontal.
On the same plane,
yes,
if you will?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's important to know, it's important to understand that the traditionalists expect to be treated with the same professionalism and respect that they treat others with. They're very formal. They still wear their suits to work.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see them come to work on casual Friday in jeans.
We're in jeans. So
yeah.
Right.
I mean, some of them, but a lot of them just don't believe in that because they really associate who they are with their position.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
and they're still in the workplace. I mean, that's one thing when you talk about World War II and, mm-hmm. My mind automatically thinks, okay, is that generation still in the workplace? But
There are some.
There's still some working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Probably the smallest generation left in the workplace.
Sure.
And very much outnumbered, But they're still there. And, they're very frugal.
Because, savers.
Yes.
Yes.
And they're very frugal in terms of fiscal management. They don't believe in wasting. You won't see them throw out a blank piece of paper. They'll use that for, mm-hmm. You won't see them waste paper clips and things like that.
So what's the next one? Because I know you said four. So you had traditionalist,
mm-hmm.
and what, the baby boomers
coming
next?
The baby boomers,
okay,
who for a very long time were the largest generation in the workforce. And the baby boomers, they were born between, and there are different scales, but the one I use, they were born between 1946 and 1961. So these folks grew up in the 50s and 60s. At the time they grew up, America was a global leader. They're very competitive, they're rebellious, they grew up in the age of rock and roll, they caused movements to move forward, civil rights and women's rights, and they were very, they questioned things. A lot of these folks also, the older boomers, a lot of them are still in the workforce because their retirement plans had changed due to the recession.
Okay.
So
is that the generation who, I will say, how do I say it? The traditionalists, you said, capture the idea that you could retire with the same company.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening anymore. So is this the generation, the baby boomers, who started seeing that change?
Or yes. Well, the baby boomers were the first generation really affected by that change because they were the generation that in the 80s, they grew up in the 50s and 60s. So now in the 70s and 80s, they're in the workforce. And in the 80s now, they started seeing the layoffs. They started seeing the lack of loyalty, the decline in certain industries.
And wasn't that was it Reagan with the strike, mm-hmm. and then they could only strike for so long, and then was it teachers, and then they had to go back to work anyway?
Sure.
And that changes the mindset.
It does change the mindset. So the baby boomers were part of this generation, so now that sense of loyalty isn't as prevalent with a lot of the baby boomers. So you know, again, they're competitive, they're idealistic, they do have, a lot of them do have a very young at heart attitude. I think it's funny that you may be telling in terms of what you were saying, you felt when you were young, you had to prove yourself, and now you're starting to feel as though you have to prove your relevance. A lot of baby boomers are starting to feel that way, that they're, you know, needing to prove their relevance, and they don't like that. You know, they don't want to be considered old. You know, don't call.
Yeah,
don't call. They're not old.
You
know? And I think it's interesting because in terms of technology, you know, we talked about the traditionalists. There wasn't a lot of technology there. Now, the baby boomers, they're starting to get into the workforce in the 70s and 80s. So they're the first, you know, recipients of the giant PC. Computers.
Remember the phones that were like briefcases?
Yes.
And
communication-wise, you know, these folks will get up and walk down the hall to ask you a question. They'll come to you. They're the people that will poke their head in your cube and say, hey, do you have a minute? You know, I want to talk about this. They're not...
I so already want to ask you a ton of questions, but I want you to go through the four, because my immediate thought is, then how does that not drive... It drives me nuts, you know, when somebody, like, leaves me a note. I'm like, text me or email me or, you know. So we'll get to that in a minute. All right, finish out with the baby boomers, and then you have the Xers still.
Yeah, so the boomers, they like to talk. They like FaceTime. That, like I said, they'll get up, they'll, you know. And that does. It drives the younger generations a little nuts. But, you know, that's the baby boomer generation. Now, the Xers, the Generation X. Now, these are people born between 1961 and 1981. These were the latchkey kids. These were the kids who now come from both parents are working or they're divorced. Okay.
The parents are divorced. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're seeing their parents lose their jobs. They're not getting that sense of loyalty from a perceived employer as a kid. They're seeing their parents get divorced. They're seeing their parents have problems. They're seeing their parents lose their jobs. So, you know, that produced more of a skeptical mindset, typically, in the Gen Xers. Gen Xers are also very, very self-reliant. They took care of themselves. They got off the school bus. They got home by themselves. They made their snacks. They, you know, and they also, they were the first generation that, you know, had the video games. I'm telling my age.
Going down the Atari, right?
Yeah. I came home from school and played Pong.
Yep.
So, Gen Xers are also, they were the early dot-comers. You know, they started to pick up on the technology. They were the ones who started the whole, you know, .com.
So let me ask you this, if I could. So baby boomers, so now we're going between baby boomers and Xers. And I like how you describe the Xers because of what they're seeing.
Yeah.
Would it be the Xers that were the generation that, and correct me if I'm wrong, felt it as typical that you'd get multiple jobs and multiple careers within your given employment experience, opposed to going back to the traditionalist who would get a job and a lot likely stay with that until retirement?
Sure. That starts with this generation.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily as positive a spin as the generation following. The millennials have a different sense of all those jobs being available, it's the availability. Gen Xers more believe that they will have more jobs in their lifetime out of necessity, not necessarily
not
out of opportunity.
Okay.
And again, this isn't everybody. This is just what is common. Because of what they, because of how they grew up.
Yeah.
Again, seeing their parents lose their jobs. They're not expecting employers to be loyal anymore. So therefore, they're not necessarily expecting to have to be as loyal. That's not a bad thing, but it's just a fact.
And before you keep going, Lisa, folks, if you're just joining us, it's Lisa Gard with Specialized Staffing. And just talking about the generational differences, so we're kind of going through what the different generations are. The traditionalists, if I could spit it out of my mouth, baby boomers, Gen Xers, and then we have...
Yes, so we have the Gen Xers, and then we have the millennials.
Yes.
And this is the generation that is now coming into the workforce. And I want to say, you know, it's so funny because... I remember entering the workforce as an Xer and feeling like I was misunderstood by the people who were already there. And I understand why. after looking into this. But so now the millennials are definitely seeing this, and they're being misunderstood by all three generations before them. Because the millennials, now these are the kids of the younger baby boomers. And the younger baby boomers, they were much more hands-on as parents. You know, this is the generation that grew up with everybody gets a trophy. You know, mom and dad were taking time off from work to make sure they, you know, got their class projects, to go to meetings at school, to, you know, to attend functions with them. You know, work-life balance starts to become a little more important with that younger baby boomer generation. And the millennials are used to that constant support and feedback and praise.
And I don't want to say holding hands because, I mean, I've worked with many millennials. I love them. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, mm-hmm. they're fabulous and they're smart and they're intelligent.
Yes.
But I understand what you're saying. It's almost like, do they not have enough independence, or?
They're just not as independent.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
Yeah, don't mean to be negative. Yeah.
They like to collaborate. They like to collaborate. It's not that they can't work independently. They certainly can. And they need very specific, defined parameters to work in. If you define the expectations, if you provide them with the right tools, and they love their technology, and they love the latest technology, but if you provide them with the right direction and the right tools, and leave them to own their projects, they will perform. They are hard workers. The thing is, the difference with the millennials is they're not willing to sacrifice their personal happiness for their job.
Okay.
And when you look at that, okay. that's a complete polar opposite of, you know, the traditionalists. The traditionalists were all about work. The millennials are all about who they are individually, and they work to live. They don't live to work. And they don't have to. There are so many opportunities, so many more opportunities for them. You know, when you think about it, they're entering the workforce at a time where there are all these startups, so many opportunities, you know, for work. And their values are different. They value meaningful work. They're interested in what the company they're working for is giving back to the community.
And giving, and correct me if I'm wrong, again, you're the expert in this, but I also feel that millennials are, and I, again, not to be negative, it's just handed to. Like, they want information given to them, mm-hmm. where, like, as I'm an Xer, I had to go work for the information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's a difference in there,
mm-hmm.
in the way we deliver things, or, like, information. And I speak from that, from a communications aspect.
Sure.
Because what we're working in now in communications is, I need to hand it to you.
Right.
You know, give it to you individually, even though
right.
I have to deal with a mass of people, mm-hmm. where that wasn't the way it was
no.
years ago.
We didn't have Google.
It was a matter of you came to us.
Right.
And, you know, so there's
right.
a difference. Exactly.
Right. They're used to
we didn't
immediate
have Alexa.
Results. No.
Yeah.
Right, right. Google. Now I'm dating
yeah,
myself, right?
Right?
Google, what's that? We have Alexa. You're absolutely right. You see how technology changes. And
yeah.
with each technological advance, each generation becomes much
it's just different.
Yeah.
It's slightly. So let me ask you this, because I want to get into what companies can do.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like I'm going to lead into it this way, because there's so many questions there. But it seems like the out of the four generations that you say are still in the workforce, it seems like three, even though they're all different.
Yes.
Three can seemingly be in the same category when we're talking about technology. And it seems like the millennials are in their own category, because it just seems like, even though technology changes, yes, we had record players and now we have MP3s.
There
I
are
guess
people listening right
too,
now
right?
who just went, what?
What was a record player? Reel to reels. Remember those days? But anyway, point is it just seems like this upcoming generation, the millennials,
mm-hmm.
are a generation that I look at and I guess I'm impressed with. But the rest of us don't know what they know. You know, the rest
right.
of us, I guess, feel lost, where millennials are so on top of things with what's coming.
Yes. But that said, conversely, there is so much that the millennials don't know that we know.
Okay.
You know, there's going to be the need for a transfer of a lot of knowledge from traditionalists, from boomers to Gen Xers to these millennials, because they don't have the experience. I mean, they can ask Alexa, they can look things up, but they don't have the experience. So there is going to be that need for a transfer of knowledge. And I think that's one of the things employers need to think about as they're looking at succession planning. You know, you own a company, and a lot of the clients I work with are just coming to the realization that within the next 5 years, they're going to lose almost their entire management staff. Because they're all boomers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to have to replace them with Xers and, you know, eventually millennials. And when you think about it, and you think about the differences between the generations. Let's just take the Xers and the millennials, for instance. So the Xers, we grew up latchkey kids. We got off the bus. We got our snacks. We're used to being independent. We don't need feedback. Nobody was there to say, great job, buddy. You got in the door by yourself. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
We just did it, and we did it by ourselves. So when we're managing a millennial who is used to having that constant feedback, that constant praise, we're not seeing the need for it. And we're misinterpreting their need for it as they're being needy, they're being entitled. And that isn't the case. That's just how they're wired.
Is that the base of the discord, though, the misunderstanding of each other, mm-hmm. and not taking time to learn from each other?
I think that's the base of all discord. I mean, when you think about it, these generational differences are, you know, we're talking about some very general and almost stereotypical characteristics. Everybody is wired individually. And one of the things, you know, I'll share is, you know, in my company, we go through assessments to identify how we're wired individually so that we understand how we're working together as an individual. You know, two of us Xers may be wired completely differently, even though there may be some common characteristics in terms of our beliefs. We're all wired differently. So I think discord is definitely caused by people just not understanding other people. Here's a great example. I'm very excitable. I'm sure that surprises you. So when something happens, I'm either happy or I'm not happy. There are people I work with who just don't show that emotion. I let my emotions show. There are people who don't show emotion. So if the building were on fire, I would be running up and down the halls screaming the building's on fire. But other people would just simply be quietly get up,
walking out,
and
drinking
leave.
Their coffee.
And I would think, aren't you excited? Aren't you upset about this? So there's a common, you know, there's a good example of a common misperception,
yeah,
that I might have of you, because I'm describing a situation that is obviously getting me emotional and you're not showing emotion. So I'm misinterpreting that as lack of interest.
Yeah.
Lack of sense of urgency.
And I've noticed on my end, working with millennials, I try to take the time to say, could you teach me that?
Well,
because now all of a sudden I need to know, I need,
yes,
that knowledge, because I don't know anything about technology.
And that is a very good point.
And at least it gives them an opportunity to teach.
Yep. So you talked a little bit about what companies,
yeah,
you know, being interested in what companies can do,
yeah,
and you just really segued into that pretty beautifully. So, you know, companies need to understand that these differences that each generation brings to the workforce, they need to be addressed simply for the harmony,
mm-hmm, sure, yeah,
of the workforce,
yeah,
but also just to ensure success. So, you know, you talk about that. Companies can provide training, not just to their managers on how to lead effectively, you know, across generations, because like I said, you've got boomers leading Xers and millennials, and their values are completely different. So there's training that you can provide. But also, you can provide training to the workforce on just how to get along with each other. Not necessarily how to get along. We all get along.
Yeah.
But how to understand each other and how not to misinterpret things. Another thing is purposely mix teams up. If you've got a company, don't try, you know, okay, we're going to put all the old people together and we'll get all the young people and keep them away from each other. That is not the way to go. You definitely, if you're, you know, if you're coordinating teams for projects, you want to mix that up, because each generation brings different sets of values to the table, and they are they're called values for a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's really important too. Now, you honed in on something, and I will say this, consider mentoring, and not mentoring old to new, but 360. So, okay. You know, where a boomer may be able to mentor an Xer or a millennial in terms of, you know, the work itself, you know, the business, a millennial may be able to mentor the boomer or the traditionalist in technology. You know, it's funny, you know, we talk about that, and I sit in my office sometimes, and I hear people laughing, like, sporadically. Mm-hmm. And I know what they're doing. They're IMing each other.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. No, you know what's going on.
I don't use IM.
You're not fooling the boss there,
right,
people.
I use email, you know? So when somebody gets an email, you hear their computer go ding, and then you hear the laugh. Yeah. So I know what's good, but I know what they're doing. They're IMing each other. And it's funny because that's just the next technology.
Yeah.
So it is funny, but you can use those younger generations to teach the older generations more about technology, and that has value. And I think it's also very important to provide opportunities for them to socialize together. You know, have lunches, have, you know, after hours events, even provide formal team building type mm-hmm. exercises that. You know, that take everybody and mix groups and help them work together in a more social setting where they're, you know, not necessarily focused on getting the job done, and you're taking that stress out of it, and, you know, all they're really focused on is understanding each other and working together.
I know you mentioned a couple of minutes ago about an older generation leading a younger generation in the way of management, but there are businesses out there that have millennials leading.
Yes.
And they're leading the older generation.
Yes.
So talk to the older generation right now, and maybe even the millennials, but how does an older generation deal with that when they know they're sitting back and saying, I've been doing this longer than, you know, you've been in the workforce?
Sure. Sure. Longer than you've been born.
Yeah.
in some cases.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to keep an open mind and to understand that this millennial sitting in front of you has knowledge that you don't have, just like you have knowledge that they don't have. And I think it's important for both to understand that.
And I can only speak again from my experience when I deal with, we'll just say, people here and millennials. I always ask. I ask for their permission and then for them to educate me mm-hmm. and then always to say thank you. Now, that doesn't mean I remember everything that they said, you know,
right?
I mean, and I'll tell them right out too. Say, you know, can you show me Facebook? I probably won't remember half of this, but I need to know it. Could you, you know, and I guess it's in asking a permission. And I know that's a whole different show for us to do is the communication
sure.
within the workplace.
Sure.
But to learn how to communicate with people, you say that is key, isn't it?
Absolutely.
In any generation.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And from people within the same generation and you know, through different generations. Absolutely. That's across the board.
One more question for you, and then sure. I want to get your contact information out for specialized staffing. But when we're talking about communication, we're talking about different generations. How important is it that everyone has a voice within their company, but at the same time, you mentioned, was it the baby boomers who like the hierarchy of management,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they feel like their voice shouldn't be heard because maybe it's the boss that needs to be heard. You know, how do you mix that in?
It's interesting. Well, and the boomers, not so much as the traditionalists. The traditionalists grew up believing that they should be seen and not heard.
Okay.
When they were kids.
Okay.
The boomers grew up rebellious. The boomers aren't afraid to be heard. They're not afraid to speak up. They're not afraid to challenge. And there are less and less traditionalists in the workplace. So I do think that is less an issue for just the generations in the workforce, but more an issue for leadership and making sure that they're understanding their audience and they're communicating effectively, not just the message, but how the message is being delivered.
Yeah. Specialized staffing doing great work, not only here in Butler where you're anchored, but in many other locations. How do we get a hold of you, your phone number, your website, all of that good stuff?
Sure. Well, you can reach us by phone at 724-287-8380. You can visit us online at www.thebestworkwithus.com.
final thoughts, last minute or so, just the importance of understanding the different generations and how you can have a happy workplace if you work on it.
Sure. Now, final thoughts are that, again, these were very general observations, general, you know, research done in common characteristics between generations. And I think the most important thing to remember is everybody is wired differently. So you can have two Xers, two millennials, two boomers, two traditionalists that are wired completely differently. Everybody is different. And I think it's just so important for people to understand and not assume what's in the other person's head when they're communicating. Don't look at what somebody's doing and question their action based on your assumption.
Yeah, and your perspective. I love what you presented, because I know I'm sitting here, I'm sure many of us are sitting here saying, oh, that's where I'm at. Oh, that's where Susie's at. That's where Ben's at. You
it's
know,
an just interesting topic.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Lisa Gard, of course, Specialized Staffing. You can always get in touch with them if you would like to take advantage of their services and learn more. Thanks so much for joining us, folks. You can hear this as the podcast of the day. It's WISR680.com. I'm Tracy Morgan with Let's Talk.
The information and opinions shared on this program are solely those of our guests and do not necessarily represent those of WISR, the Butler County Radio Network, or its staff and employees.
In January, Radio PA will bring you a very special edition of Ask the Governor, as former Governor Tom Corbett returns for an in-depth tell-all interview that includes the questions we've been waiting for him to answer about Kathleen Kane, Jerry Sandusky, the Penn State factor in his 2014 re-election loss, the combative state legislature, and much more.
I lost. Move on. Some people have told me you need to go on a tour called the I Told You So tour.
Have you Monday morning quarterbacked the 2014 election?
Sure.
If you could say something to Kathleen Kane, what would you say? You can hear this special edition of Ask the Governor on many of these local Radio PA affiliates in January. Check with your local station for the date and time of broadcast. You can also hear the interview in its entirety, including segments not included in the radio broadcast, at PAMatters.com starting January 8th. Former Governor Tom Corbett in a no-holds-barred interview from the studios of Radio PA. Ask the Governor is an exclusive presentation of Radio Pennsylvania and PAMatters.com.